At its core, marketing is the process of attracting potential customers and clients to a specific product or service. Marketing at its best unearths consumer insights to creatively reach and engage a target audience with the brand's benefits to drive sustainable growth. Hi, I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the RAB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Each year, the RAB Business Development Team, led by Tammy Greenberg, attends the ANA Masters of Marketing Conference, a four-day conference that brings together brand marketers from large and small companies, allowing them to tap into best practices, case studies, and insights, while also learning about the latest consumer trends from leading marketing and advertising executives. The conference showcases creative thinking and strategies from some of the world's top CMOs and leading brands on what they've implemented to meet customer needs, drive growth, and inspire change. At the conference, we had the opportunity to sit down with many attendees about their marketing goals, the issues they're most focused on, and of course, their thoughts about radio. In this podcast, episode number 13 of this series, we hear the conversation I had with Raquel Zuzart, founder and CMO equity partner for All.
Raquel, thank you for stopping by. This is so great. So how's the conference been for you so far?
It's been amazing. I think the conference really highlights how much the industry is committed and passionate about making our craft of marketing as impactful and as inclusive as possible. That's been certainly the two key themes I've been hearing over the last couple of days. I was at the conference for a pre-conference on the CMO Global Summit as well, contributing to the marketing talent agenda. And we're seeing a lot of commitment and in some cases clear action steps as well on what it's going to take to make marketing have a central role in the boardroom.
Right.
As a force for great growth and a force for good, which is a central theme we're hearing recurring across so many of the conversations and presentations here. And I see a lot of momentum starting in a lot of organizations that have identified what that growth needs to look like and what does the marketing talent need to look like to drive that growth. And it starts first by really, really always, as we know, knowing and being obsessed with your customer. So those are some of the key themes I've been seeing so far.
Well, you have such an interesting background. So share a little bit about it before we talk about the company that you've now founded.
Sure. I started my career actually in accounting. I really thought I was going to follow the path of understanding the language of business and, you know, train as an accountant, work for Pricewaterhouse, Ernst & Young, very early on with internships. And then Procter & Gamble came to campus and, you know, had this opportunity to do something called marketing. And I fell in love with marketing. And
so they recruited you on campus.
Yeah, it was a great opportunity to learn, as they were explaining to me what marketing was, you know, the art and science of building business, where you're using both your left and right side of your brain, you're being creative in terms of storytelling, and analytical in terms of understanding, you know, the data, understanding the insights behind it, and understanding the so what's. And I, you know, fell in love with marketing. So I, you know, abandoned my ideas of being a CPA and instead pursued a career of, you know, creating wonderful stories, measuring them, and having impact. And I did that across a number of brands, also at Johnson & Johnson, then went on to spend some time in strategic consulting with Accenture, which was really another way to sharpen, if you like, an understanding of the, you know, the black box or the mechanics of what makes business tick across different functions, you know, obviously marketing, sales, operations, but also finance, supply chain, manufacturing, and how those things come together across so many industries. And, you know, went on after my time at Johnson & Johnson and Accenture to join the media industry because I was fascinated with the storytelling factory, you know, the storytelling factory that makes programming and that makes ads, and how, you know, the mechanics of that comes together in terms of narrative, in terms of talent, in terms of placement of those stories. And so I had an opportunity to work at CBS, CBS Connections, the cross-platform unit, as well as Time Warner Cable, and the Washington Post. So got to see a few different major assets in the media ecosystem, and that has, you know, equipped me well to connect more effectively, you know, the key drivers of what underpins great storytelling and great story platforms.
Mm-hmm. So the Equity Project for All, what a fabulous name, by the way. So where did that come from, and how did this all come about?
You know, for a number of years, even during my career at J&J, I was always thinking through the concept of how, you know, how do we connect more strongly the idea from economics. I trained as an economist, and so this idea in economics, which was, you know, wealth is created by these four factors of production: land, labor, capital, and enterprise. And each of those, as I thought through it, two of those have been completely, I guess I'll use the word, abused, you know, in our system. Land, with the sustainability and climate urgency that we have.
Sadly, yes.
Labor, with, you know, what we're seeing in terms of, you know, not only the great resignation, but people being demotivated and, you know, losing a sense of purpose in terms of their livelihoods and what they're doing. And the other two, the capital and enterprise, is only really controlled by 1% of the population. And so there's a need for a new model. And I was always trying to think about how do we create a business that can, you know, create outcomes that are great for commerce, but also great for society, and not have to call it a nonprofit. You know, why can't we go for purposeful profit and be a for-profit enterprise doing that?
Right.
And so the word equity has so much of meaning. It's a rich word. If you're in a context of human capital and human development, you think of it as human equity, which is getting people to get a sense that they belong.
Well, it's so inclusive.
Exactly. That they belong, that they can feel that they can speak up, their voice will be heard, and even if it's not the popular view, that they will have a platform to voice it. And that human equity means great people who feel they belong to a place, who feel they can then build great brands, because brands are built by people. Mm-hmm. And so that's brand equity. And when you do that, you see return on the equity that the company has invested. And so, you know, equity has a meaning in finance. It has a meaning in the world of brand. It has a meaning in the world of talent. And I really wanted to tie that together. And so I today help brands, help companies really get to the what I call the plumbing, you know, underneath their essence in terms of what they're offering their people.
Right.
Are their people feeling that sense of belonging? What is their core purpose and their core reason for being? And tying that as a fuel to then create great products. You know, we heard so much today from American Express, from Reckitt, and from MasterCard, from, you know, P&G, Mark Pritchard, about the importance of harnessing that true purpose and really igniting it. And that's what I help my clients do, you know, capture it, make sure it's real, have a permission to play in that space. You can't just slap it on and be superficial. And once you've got that, and once you've got that, you know, attention and engagement and loyalty of your consumers, that is going to be an igniter to sustainable, profitable, and purposeful growth.
Well, and that word sustainable is so critical.
Absolutely.
Because you have to just keep, it's, you know, they talk about mission, and you certainly have a clear mission, and you discuss it so beautifully and make it so clear, almost to the point you think, why isn't everyone thinking like this, you know?
You know, I think people are beginning to think like this, and it's something that is hard for us, not because the concepts are difficult, it's because systemically we've been built on a system that has, you know, very much put profits above everything else.
Yeah.
And we have to go from that to the triple bottom line, which is profit, people, and planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, we need to fix the plumbing. You know, there's just like intrinsic systemic incentives and processes that prevent us from thinking like that. And as humans, we want to go to what's easy and what we're used to. So I think people are thinking, but it's the work that needs to go behind it that'll help us really get to where we need to go.
That's exciting. So can you sort of give us an overview of what's new and what you're focused on specifically for your company for growth?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of key igniters that we're focused on at Equity and I've been working on with a number of clients on. First and foremost is really the employee asset or the talent asset. Mm-hmm. You know, investing in it not because it's what others are doing, what competitors are doing in some training, but investing in it as a sense of commitment to the whole person. Mm-hmm. We have seen more and more through the pandemic that people want to express themselves at work. They want to be able to feel a sense of purpose of why they're doing the job they're doing. And this concept of whole person employee well-being is critical. And that's a really good starting point that we're, you know, focusing on when we think about when you want to create equity on all three elements, you've got to start with your people. So employer branding is a huge focus. We've done some good work partnering with some major healthcare clients and health systems, as well as CPG, you know, really understanding and getting to that. So that's one big area. The other big area...
And I just want to touch on that because, you know, that resource is so critical to get anything done. And it's more than a paycheck.
It is. It is. And we're seeing it in droves. I spoke on the Female Quotient Lounge yesterday. I moderated a panel on uplifting more women into leadership. And what we're seeing is that, you know, women who climb the ladder, but then there's this broken rung between manager and director or director and VP. And a lot of that has to do with flexibility. Mm-hmm. A lot of it has to do with, you know, feeling that they're heard, feeling that their talents are, their talent is utilized and recognized. It's not about I want more money.
Right.
It's let me have my impact, recognize me for who I am. So I think that is, you know, a key factor. And, you know, flexibility is being valued as highly, if not more, mm-hmm. in some segments. And people of color and women, unfortunately, have a great disadvantage when it comes to that progress because their needs are not being attended to as much.
Yeah, that's such a good point. What other areas are you focused on?
Yeah, so people, talent, huge focus. Another big focus area as well is on creativity. Mm-hmm. So I am on a vengeance here, on a big mission to make sure that we as a marketing craft don't take creativity as something we own as a monopoly. Because we are very much...
What does that mean?
Let me talk about that. So when we think about creativity, it's so associated with the marketing and communications craft, which it should be. You know, we have the chief creative officers of our holding agency companies, you know, being... They get a commission, like in the old days when art was commissioned, you know, by the dukes and the kings, and you got Leonardo to paint a picture. They're the CMOs with the purse strings that, you know, commissioned to the CCOs to create these beautiful works of art. And it's great, and we have some amazing and, you know, really soul-defining creative advertising, which has been fantastic. But I'm trying to see how we can infuse the creativity IQ beyond marketing. How can we get ideas from people in the front line mm-hmm. who are actually working with customers every day? How can we get ideas from people who might be in a function in manufacturing or people who might be working on the supply chain or people who are, you know, perhaps more in the talent and growth area? How do we infuse creativity across an organization as an igniter of growth? Because all humans are very much able to be creative. They have creativity DNA in them. When you unleash that, that helps you with that sense of belonging because they feel they're being heard.
So it sounds like you're helping knock down some walls and barriers within the organization to, you know, so that everyone's listening and having that opportunity to be heard within that organization.
Absolutely.
And can you share an example of that?
Yeah, I can give you an example of one of my healthcare clients mm-hmm. where, as you can imagine, has gone through tremendous strain through the pandemic and one of the biggest talent areas that they've had major hardship with and has faced major obstacles is the nurses in any hospital system.
Right.
And we instituted an idea where instead of having themselves to... you know, share some of their biggest challenges only within the nursing group in that particular hospital, why didn't they have an opportunity to hear back from the patients who they had cured, you know, to actually come back and talk about their experiences.
Wow.
And that was a program which allowed, you know, the nurses to hear back, patients coming back, and importantly, their CEO and the senior leadership who are not on the front line, who are not in those, you know, medical surgical units, they're not there, actually heard from the patients how the care, you know, was administered to them. And that pride in the work that they did was an example of, you know, showing the value you bring, getting your customer to talk about it, mm-hmm. and ensuring that the leaders, who sometimes can be so removed because you're, you know, creating budgets and you're, you know, deciding on more corporate type decisions, to come back to the front line to remember what it's about. So wherever there's an opportunity, and this was an example of that, to bring stakeholders together,
right,
and then ask yourself, what is it that aligns all these stakeholders? Why are we here? And of course, for this particular client, it was about creating healing and creating better health, and getting those stakeholders to speak up in venues and in opportunities that normally you wouldn't create. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, really sort of ignited a sense of confidence and pride and a sense of motivation among a group that, you know, had been through a lot of pressure, as you can imagine, and hearing their leader speak up on their behalf was a huge confidence and morale booster.
Oh, I bet. Plus, I hope that top management gave them a whole other perspective on what this important group of people that work for their companies, yeah. what they do, yeah. and their importance.
Absolutely. I mean, we're talking about, you know, people who came in for chemotherapy treatments and, you know, were then in remission, and the thankfulness, the gratitude of the caregivers and the patient themselves were just tremendous. And there's a sense of pride, and recognition goes such a long way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's an example. So we try to, you know, create those forums, create those avenues, create the energy and mm-hmm. a culture. You know, to change culture is a mammoth effort. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a subsequent and very committed moves. And so you kind of orchestrate that, but you do it from a place of authenticity.
Right. Well, you are certainly not the traditional agency that someone would think of in terms of an advertising agency. But when you look ahead, is there one thing that you are most excited about when you look at the future?
I'm most excited about our emerging youth and our talent coming through. I spend a lot of time with young marketing undergrads mm-hmm. and grads. I've met some at this conference. I met some actually speaking on some of the panels of the Female Quotient, and there's this optimism and this firm belief that, you know, change can happen. And I think that is what I try to tap into. So as part of Equity, we work with a squad of experts, and I try to tap into diverse populations, young emerging talent who have what I'd say the spark, you know, that raw material, that
right.
hunger that, you know, we can help mold and help develop further to become great marketing leaders. And that is, you know, a great source of, for me, motivation and optimism for the industry, because there is amazing talent, and it's our responsibility to give them the skills, the competencies, the experiences, take a bet on them so that they can shape our craft of marketing, you know, to be the best it can be.
Well, I love hearing how excited you are about the future and how ensuring that the next talent is there. You know, we just have to make sure our eyes are open and give them those opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we need to listen. We need to, you know, even those of us who've had years in this industry, we, of course, have a lot of experience. But sometimes those ideas come from those with fresh eyes. And, you know, there are things out there that are very shiny and exciting. And I'm doing a bit of work right now in the metaverse. I'm actually opening at a congress in the Middle East in Abu Dhabi next month, talking about the metaverse and inclusivity and how we can bring that together. So I think it's important for us, you know, established leaders and also emerging leaders to be very smart about what's coming up in terms of the technology, Web3, metaverse, NFTs, smart contracts, all the new exciting things, but be extra vigilant about making smart choices about how you experiment and how you learn from those experiments. So really combining kind of what's happening in digital, what's happening with talent, and bringing those two things together to shape the future we want. We need to take control of the future, not mm-hmm. let it dictate us. We'll dictate what it's going to look like.
Well, this was fantastic. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Oh, my God, I could talk to you for hours. A million questions.
Well, thank you so much.
Raquel and Equity Project for All has such a clear mission. that we can all relate to and learn from. Recognizing all people within our organizations for their impact and ensuring every individual feels they belong and deliver their best every single day will result in retention and recruitment. Igniting the power of creativity by tapping into all constituents, whether they answer the phones or dial in, will result in creative solutions we otherwise wouldn't know of existed. And perhaps more importantly, capture the brand's societal purpose. Be sure that it's real, harness it, and then ignite it. I agree with Raquel that today's youth will prepare us for an exciting future, one filled with optimism and firm belief that change can happen.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.